Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you. We are here for day number 76 of Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. And we are in Genesis chapter 49. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for another day to spend this time together in your word. We pray that you would speak to us as we come now to these closing chapters of the first book of your Bible. Write these words on our hearts. Help us to see your redemption, your sovereign purposes, your character, and your hand at work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 49. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, prominent in dignity, preeminent in power. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence, because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. O my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the shore of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall be at Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey, crouching between the sheepfolds. He saw that a resting place was good, and that the land was pleasant, so he bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant at forced labor. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a viper by the path that bites at the horse's heels, so that his rider falls backward. I wait for your salvation, O Lord. Raiders shall raid Gad, but he shall raid at their heels. Asher's food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal delicacies. Naphtali is a doe let loose that bears beautiful fawns. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the wall. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, harassed him severely, yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouches beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents, up to the bounties of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of him who was set apart from his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, in the morning devouring the prey, and at evening dividing the spoil. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with the blessing suitable to him. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people, Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite, to possess as a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, there they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. So Jacob's long, troubled, twisting, and compelling life comes to an end. But before he does so, he speaks this word of prophecy, this blessing. So we get this theme throughout Genesis that really the patriarchs were especially empowered by God, by the Holy Spirit, to impart blessings on their sons that were prophecies of what God would do in them and through them for generations to come. That's because they are God's covenant people. God has made his covenant promise with them. God has purposed that he will bring salvation to the nations through them, going back to the promise he made three generations prior now to Abraham, where he told Abraham, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And then he told him, through your seed, that is Jesus, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So because of God's covenant promises and purposes and the work of the Holy Spirit, the patriarchs are uniquely empowered to do this kind of blessing prophecy. And so Jacob speaks as Israel. He says, listen to Israel, your father. Reuben's the firstborn son. Reuben is strong. Reuben is powerful. He's an alpha male. But he's essentially disqualified from the rights of a firstborn because of his sexual sin, because he's gone up to his father's bed. He slept with one of his father's concubines, and that was wicked. You know, he slept with one of the mothers of his brothers. It's just wickedness. So he's disqualified. Simeon and Levi, they're brothers. They are strong and mighty men, but they are temperamental and cruel. Remember, they're the ones who attacked the village of Shechem to avenge their sister Dinah's purity when she was raped by the prince of Shechem. But they went up and they killed all the men of the town and just devastated a whole village for one man's sin. That is unjust. That is not right. And so they are disqualified. And Jacob says, Israel says, I will scatter them. I will divide them. And the Levites will not have an inheritance because they're going to be the tribe that's in charge of the tabernacle and the temple. So they're going to be scattered throughout. And Simeon also gets kind of scattered throughout Israel. Judah then, fourthborn, but remember, he's the one who tried to stop his brothers from killing Joseph. He's the one who offered himself as a pledge. He offered himself to be in the place of Joseph. And we commented at the time how that's a picture of Christ who offers himself in place of his brothers, the redeemed. So Judah gets the scepter, the ruler's staff. Judah is going to be the tribe of kings. Now, it is going to be 500 years, just about, before someone from the tribe of Judah emerges as the king, and that'll be King David. And God will enter into a covenant with David to fulfill this prophetic promise from 500 years prior, that David will always have someone to sit on the throne. And in fact, that one of David's sons will himself sit on the throne forever, which is about Jesus. And this is the one that to him shall the obedience of the peoples come. And so the peoples goes beyond just the nation of Israel to all the peoples of the world. So the promise to Abraham was, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Through your offspring, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Now all the peoples will bring obedience and tribute to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This lion imagery in verse 9, Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So we're told that Zebulun is going to live at the seashore. We're told that Issachar is going to have a pleasant place in the land, but he's going to become a servant and is going to be forced to do labor under the overseer of others. And so Issachar is a land that gets conquered early and often by outside peoples who come in to Israel. You have Dan, and then you have Gad and Asher and Naphtali, and Jacob says things about each one of them. And then he speaks about Joseph. And this is very, again, these are all prophetic, it's poetic, and this picture, this image of a fruitful bough by a spring, his branches running over the wall. Joseph becomes two fold tribes in Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they become really two of the largest tribes. And Ephraim becomes the most powerful of all the northern tribes in Israel. So this fruitfulness of Joseph is definitely comes to pass, and then some, because he becomes more than double what his brothers are. And there's a reference here in this language of how the archers bitterly attacked him. That's his brothers. His brothers separated him out. They attacked him. They targeted him for persecution. But God is helping him. God is blessing him. God is bringing him through. In this way, Joseph is again a picture of Christ. Even though Christ's kingship belongs to the tribe of Judah, Joseph here is a picture of Christ. He is rejected by his people. He's separated out from his people, handed over to be crucified, and yet he is the fruitful vine. He is the one who brings in the multitudes of fruitful harvest for God's kingdom as the true vine of Israel. So we see these beautiful prophetic pictures, and then at the end of Genesis 49, as Jacob's about to die, he wants to be buried in the cave. We remember that cave from when Abraham bought it as a burial place for Sarah. It's God's place because it was given by covenant promise to be the inheritance of the people of God. It was purchased by the patriarch. And so, Jacob, there's a faith in resurrection in early seed form, because it like matters where you get buried and how you get buried, because there's this seed faith in coming resurrection. But Jacob wants to be where God's land is, where God's promise is, under the hand of God's blessing. And probably make an observation here that the Bible is always takes very seriously how we treat the bodies of those who die in the Lord. The Bible never shows believers righteously practicing cremation or disregarding the body, because God made us body and soul. And so the resting place of the body is important. The burial of the believer in hope of resurrection is important throughout God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of your holy word. Thank you for being so faithful to us to give us such hope. Thank you for the clarity of your word, that we can look here at things that were written 500 years before David was king, and it speaks clearly of David's kingship, that was written 1,500 years before Jesus was born, and yet we see pictures of Jesus here as well. You've given us great confidence for our faith in your word. Help us to stand on your word, come what may. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tomorrow's the day when we're going to finish up the book of Genesis. Hope you can be with us. You see it on the screen there, Genesis chapter 50. That's coming tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.